Blog Talk Radio.
Men and women should. I know I'm feeling like a real man should tonight, and it was a nice day today. Weather-wise, it was all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, definitely good temperature. High in Philadelphia was like 74 degrees. You know what I mean? It was a good look. Not that I was really out there like that. You know what I mean? But it's just nice to know that if I went outside like all that, I did go out for a little. That is, you know, the weather conditions are picking up a little bit. There's a whole lot that goes along with that. Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this your daily go get him is a show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun 752. A.K.A. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, like I was talking about before, and I hope y'all feel like real men and women should also. What's going on, Carol Chamberlain, my good friend, mi favorita? It's always really great to see you. And Stacey White coming through. That's right, and I'm glad to see you up in here tonight. And see Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your site. What's up, y'all? When my peoples come through, y'all know what it is. Y'all know how we do. consciously accepting your fate. What y'all know about it? Now, what we're not going to do is we're not going to act like we always do the right thing. We're not going to act like we ain't never consciously do something like we know. Maybe it was when we was younger and we knew that something that we did might have warranted an ass whooping, and we did it anyway. Why did we do it anyway? Because we figured that we might not get caught this time. Or the recession of what we did may have been a little bit more explainable this time than it was the last time. So, yeah, we're going to take that chance. How many of y'all were instructed to come straight home from school when y'all got out of school? You know, right after school, you were supposed to come straight home. You know, maybe you had a younger sibling that you had to pick up. Like, right after you get out of school, make sure you go pick up your baby brother or your baby sister or both, and make sure, you know, y'all bring your ass right home. Go in the house, do your homework, and, you know, and wait for me to get home from work. Something like that if you were a latchkey kid. Remember, there used to be a such thing as latchkey kids. What you know? What do you know? Well. Sometimes after school, you didn't feel like coming right home from school. You may not have broken that rule all the way. So maybe you still went and picked up your baby brother or your baby sister or whatever. But y'all were supposed to come straight home after that. And you decided to go, you know, over your friend's house, chill for a little while. Chill out with your boyfriend in the park for a little while. Go to the park, play some ball. You know, go to the store, whatever. You didn't go straight home from school. And your baby brother or your baby sister that you had to pick up probably was like, oh, ain't we supposed to go home right now? And you was like, all right, we going home, but first we got to go ahead and do this. And don't say nothing about this when we, you know, later on when we get home. Consciously accepting our fate. Not only did we know that we took a chance on breaking the rules, but now we made our baby brother or our baby sister or both an accomplice. And we told them to keep their mouths shut. So now they had to consciously accept their fate. It could be ass whoopings going all around now. And that's only if you, and I'm only talking about if you came from a strict family household. You know, some people came from a really strict background. Some parents was off the chain with the rules. They didn't play. Didn't make them bad parents. And honestly, for some of them, it didn't even make them good parents. You know, parenting is one of those things that's highly subjective. Highly subjective. You can do all of the right things and still not be able to accept the right or still not be able to expect the right outcome. It be like that sometimes. So as a parent, just like as a child the child of someone, the son or daughter of someone, you consciously accept your fate. You're not always going to do what you're told to do. You're not always going to do what you know you should do. You're not always going to do what's best for you, whether you know it or not. So how often do we do that? Where does it start? How does the middle end up? And in getting towards the end, what does the end really spill for us? Think about people who rob banks. Now, they know damn well, if you get caught robbing a bank by the police, that could be your last day on earth. Bank robbers know that. They know it. They know what has happened to other people who have robbed banks. They know that you could get a jail stay no less than 15 years, armed robbery. They know that. And it's armed robbery even if you never brandish a gun or even have one. It's armed robbery just for the threat. Just for the threat. You pushing that envelope. Give me the money, all of the money in the drawer. Unmarked bills,
and make sure no die pack is in there. That's armed robbery, just for that. You ain't show no gun. Might not have even had one. You get caught out there just for that. Bank robbers know that. They are fully aware of the consequences. They know about the consequences when it comes to the cops. They know about the consequences when it comes to the courts. They know about the consequences when it comes to the jail and the sentencing in the jail. They know all of that. Fully aware of it. Does it stop them from robbing a bank? Once, twice, three times, four times? Some people may say that they are thrill seekers. You can call them whatever you want. One thing is for sure is that they have consciously accepted their fate. Consciously accepted their fate. However, they're trying to make a different fate for themselves. Like, their whole strategy is to not get caught. Well, yeah, that happened to everybody who got caught, but I'm not going to get caught. See, that's the thing. The person who probably taught me how to rob a bank probably got caught. But I'm not going to. I have a different strategy. I got a different plan. That was them. They were sloppy. I'm me. I'm structured. Carol Chamberlain says, isn't there a federal youth act for under 21 years old in regard to bank robbers? I've never heard that. But I'll tell you one thing. I definitely have known people who were 21 and under who robbed banks, and it didn't go so well. Some of them didn't live through it. Because you can get shot on sight robbing a bank. The law considers anyone crazy enough to rob a bank to be armed and dangerous, and they're not going to play around with, you know, all that movie stuff. Yo, put the gun down or I'm shooting. No, it's not going to be none of that. They're going to pop your ass badly. Dead on scene. Money is secure. Yeah. Yeah, I never heard of that. I never heard of that. Federal Youth Act for under 21 years old in regards to bank robberies. Could be. All I know is if you decide to rob a bank, the worst thing that can happen when you rob a bank is for you to actually get away with it. Because you know what happens if you get away with robbing a bank? Y'all saw the movie Set It Off. And regardless of what you may have thought about that movie, one thing was very real about that movie. If you get away with it one time, you're going to try to get away with it again. Because you're not going to be looking at it like, I did it once and I got away with it and I was lucky. You're going to be looking at it like, I did plan that out right. And I can do it again. That first time we only got about $20,000 or $30,000, which I think is crazy to risk your life and your freedom for that little bit of money. When I've heard about the kind of money that people be getting for bank robberies, successful bank robberies, I'm like, you robbed a bank and you only got $10,000? And that dragnet don't stop? But there are a whole lot of different ways that we accept our fate. Bank robbery is one. Disobeying your parents is another. Disobeying your school authorities is another. Another one that we do while we're young. Carol Chamberlain says, enacted in 1950 to provide sentencing alternatives for young offenders, rehab rather than punishment. Well, go ahead, Carol. I think we need to take another look at that because something tells me that the sentencing guidelines and the paperwork overall probably applies to one type of bank robber rather than another one. Because Because I ain't never known nobody this color that robbed a bank and did less than 15 years. But it's possible. I don't. Queen Monica Davis. Queen Monica. And she says, is anybody following that enactment? Which enactment? What's that? Anyway, consciously accepting your fate. Now, we all know that in order to keep our health up, in order for us to be healthy and to try to live as long and as have as much quality of life as possible, that we need to eat right, that we need to exercise. How many of us do it? How many of us do it and then stop doing it? When you stop, when you know you go off of your dieting regimen, and when you stop working out the way that you are supposed to, you know that you're consciously accepting your fate, right? Consciously, because you know what happened to you before you started working out. You were starting to get fat, maybe. You were starting to get sick a lot, maybe, and all of that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that made you start eating right, eating better, exercising more. And here's the crazy part about it. More than likely, you were getting results. You were feeling better. You were looking better. You actually receive the fruits of your labor, and you still stopped. Isn't it a crazy thing? We know better and still don't do no better. Tell me I'm lying. We know better and we still be like, well, you know, I'm going to get back up on that thing though. And even when some of us start doing worse, we still don't start doing better again. So you got off your diet, you stopped exercising or whatever, you started having more health problems and all that kind of stuff. And because you might have gotten lazy or unfocused, you didn't start dieting again, you didn't start exercising again. What do some of us do? Some of us go ahead and get surgery, which is reactive instead of proactive. Some of us go to our doctor and ask what his or her advice is. Now let's get into this whole going to the doctor thing. Because the whole healthcare thing and the whole listening to the advice of our doctors thing, first of all, is very subjective. It's very subjective for most of us, because in order for the doctor's advice to mean anything to us or for us, we have to trust our doctor. How many of you trust the doctor that you have, your primary care physician? We're supposed to trust him or her because they are supposed to be the one who recommends the good things for us versus the bad things or whatever. They're supposed to be our guide, our leader. They're not our personal trainer. So they're not going to tell you, all right, don't take any medicine or whatever. Just do this exercise or whatever. They're not going to tell you that. That's not what a doctor is going to tell you. Unless you were already healthy when you went to the doctor and he or she may say, whatever you've been doing, keep doing it. Or if you have gotten some type of personal health gains away from what he or she was recommending. Like, for example, let's say by chance your doctor was recommending blood pressure medicine or cholesterol medicine for you. And you said, let's say you didn't say that you didn't want to take it. You accepted the prescription, filled the prescription, and decided not to take the pills. You decided not to take the medication. Instead, you went and did something else. Maybe, you know, to lower your blood pressure, you started eating more garlic and dieting and exercising. And let's say you got your blood pressure together. So you went into the, you know, your next checkups or whatever. They took your blood pressure and they noticed that your blood pressure was good. 130 over 90, 120 over 80. Okay. And maybe you told your doctor, like, well, you know, I didn't take the blood pressure medicine because I heard that once you get on the blood pressure medicine, you're never going to get off the blood pressure medicine, and I really didn't want to be on it. So I did this, that, the third, and blah, 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 blah. And the doctor may have said, well, shoot. Hey, the blood pressure medicine really is for people. You know, now you're going to start giving up the real. In the beginning, he was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with the medication, and plenty of people have gotten off the medication after a while, and blah, 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 blah. Now he's giving up the real. Well, the blood pressure medicine is really for people who don't want to put in any of the work. So this is a way to stabilize your blood pressure in case you want to just keep doing whatever you want to be, whatever you've been doing or whatever you want to do. But it's good that you've been, whatever you've been doing, keep on doing. So trusting your doctor is not always an easy thing. Some of us don't trust the doctors that we have. We're looking at them like, you know, I got a feeling that this doctor is saying anything just to get my money. I got a feeling that my doctor will tell me anything just to get me out of his office or her office or get me out of the way or out of their face. So if you don't trust your doctor, more than likely you're not going to listen to the advice that he or she gives you. And in not listening to your doctor, are you accepting your fate? If the doctor told you, you need to stop smoking, you need to stop smoking, but you kept on choking and choking. You just kept on choking and choking. Have you accepted your fate? For me, the answer is clearly yes. People who smoke cigarettes or smoke too much weed against all other medical advice, to me, have clearly accepted their fate. Clear. No way around it. But let them tell it. No, I didn't accept no fate. Mm-mm. No, I didn't. First of all, the weed is good for me, and the cigarettes ain't hurting me, and I can stop smoking my sticks anytime I want to, anytime I pick, and I will do that as soon as the good Lord calls me to, but not, yeah. Putting it in God's hands. How about that? By the way, make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show, and we are talking about consciously accepting your fate. When you put it in God's hands, is that a way for us saying that we have consciously accepted our fate? I'm putting it in God's hands. It's in God's hands now. It's in God's hands now. I mean, to many people who are spiritual, we believe that everything is in God's hands, regardless of whether we think we consciously put it in his hands or not. We figure he controls everything. We just are not always fully aware of what his plan is. So we have to just go by whatever evidence that we have. But he ultimately makes all the decisions for us, doesn't he? Like, we think that we're controlling our lives. Are we? How come if we're controlling our lives so much, then how come we can't pick our death date unless we commit suicide? And some people who commit suicide don't even decide their death date because sometimes suicide doesn't work. You might mess yourself up so bad that now you're not even healthy enough to commit suicide again. Shout out to Dr. Kevorkian. Rest in peace. All right. Carol Chamberlain says, a friend's son in the 80s robbed a bank, never got the money. The silent alarm sent sent cops who were waiting, and he was arrested and got less time under the Federal Youth Act. Okay. Queen Monica, not all attorneys use it for maybe not knowing it. Shoot, if you're an attorney, you don't know that shit. You ain't got no business being no attorney. My brother Ansel Jones in the house. Yo, what's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? And Carol Chamberlain says, does garlic really work for lowering your blood pressure? Actually, it does. It really does. Garlic is a miracle drug, and it's amazing to me that people who follow Dr. Sebi let Dr. Sebi tell you that you don't that garlic is bad for you. People been using garlic for centuries, because it's a natural antibiotic. Cut and dry. It's a natural antibiotic. But yes, it does help for lowering blood pressure, amongst all of the other. Shoot, it lowers blood pressure and gets rid of vampires. If this thing can ward off a vampire, you know it can lower your blood pressure. It's up to you. Silver bullet, garlic. Stake through the heart, garlic. Getting a vampire to come out during the daytime, garlic. It's up to you. It's up to you. Shoot, I just found out, I think maybe a week or two ago, that Spawn and Blade were actual Marvel superheroes. I didn't know that shit. I did not know that. Did y'all know that? I didn't know. I didn't know there was a superhero called Spawn. Excuse me, I thought that was just a movie. How come there wasn't a Spawn Part 2? And Blade? I didn't know. Okay. But yeah, yes, garlic does work for lowering blood pressure. Stacey White says garlic does work for a lot of things. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. A lot of people don't like the smell of garlic. I don't mind the smell of garlic. You know, years ago, when I used to put so much garlic in the colon ring, people used to be running around here saying, like, I can always tell when you've been on the elevator. It smelled like cologne and garlic. I'm thinking to myself, like, that don't sound like a good smell. Nobody told me I stunk, because they just told me I smell like a pizza. All right. Carol Chandler says, so how do you use it for hypertension? Eat it. You could put it in your food or eat it raw. If you eat it raw, of course, you're going to get the higher benefits. So I used to just dump like half a clove is one little thing, right? Whatever you call the thing that holds all of the cloves, I used to dump half of that in the colon ring. Sometimes I put the whole thing in there now. Like, look, I ain't playing. These days are serious now. We on our last days and times, baby. We on our last days and times. Okay. Carol Hamlin says, no vampires around me. I'm saying, but if you get that garlic, you guaranteed to keep them at bay. You know, no vampire that I know can stand up to no garlic. Stacey White says, keep gum and breath mints at all times. I say no to that, but I can see the logic. Garlic is going to come out of your pores, to be honest with you, because it's a natural biotic. Like, you know, it's going to come out of your pores. T. Carrie Wright says, people who eat garlic get a lot of mosquito bites. They do? Oh, don't get a lot of mosquito bites. I'm like, oh. I don't know. I get mosquitoes be like, Maybe it just helps to heal the mosquito. Now, Dr. Sabi said that garlic keeps you from healing fast. It's a natural antibiotic. I don't see how. I don't know. I mean, you know, if we're talking about consciously accepting your fate, if we talk about the late, great Dr. Sabi, a lot of people went to Dr. Sabi when they didn't, when they couldn't get the results of a cure, or they couldn't get the health results or whatever that they were looking for whatever condition that they were ailing from their regular doctors. So they went to Dr. Sabi for an alternative cure. Dr. Sabi used to charge so much money, and like his daughter who's still alive, whatever, she charged so much money. I mean, if you're going to get killed in healthcare coverage with conventional healthcare, but you're going to need $25,000 cash money in order to get cured or treated with Dr. Sabi. Like, I hate to say it, but Dr. Sabi, with his prices, he went against everything that naturopathic practitioner, that naturopathic practice is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be, first of all, it's supposed to be from the earth. So it's supposed to be economical, no matter what, no matter how you slice it. How do you need $25,000, or how do you charge that much money for those packets of food that you were selling? Like, and it didn't work for everybody. But one thing is for sure is that you were consciously accepting your fate once you went over to that side. And I'm not saying that that side was a bad thing to do, because so many people had claimed that he had cured them of cancer, cured them of AIDS, you know, cured them of a whole lot of things. But when you take a chance that may go against what you think is supposed to happen, are you consciously accepting your fate? Or are you trying to make another fate? Can you make another fate? Like, I got another fate. Let me get my fate on. Let me get my fate on. Consciously accepting your fate. When was the last time you felt like, or when was the last time you know that you consciously accepted your fate? Yeah, you may have let yourself get fat. Maybe at work, you consciously did not do what you were instructed to do. You were supposed to help out on a project at work. You dipped out. They told you that you didn't have any more days that you could take off. You still took off more days. Paid or unpaid. Like, whatever happens, happens. It's funny how we can do that at work. And many of us have. Like, well, whatever happens, happens. Coming in the next day at work, wondering if you're going to get called into the office or something like that. Consciously accepting your fate. I did everything to get suspended, fired, written up, or whatever. I wonder if I'm going to get suspended, fired, or written up. Not necessarily in that order. Stacey White says you can roast garlic. Yeah, you can. TK Wright says, yes, at Spawn. It was too violent a movie at the time. Really? I didn't know that. She says, yes, you have accepted your fate if you disregard sound advice. What if you don't trust the advice? Sound advice. I like how you put that. Sound advice. What makes advice sound? Well, let's take a look at it. Maybe we can find out something about sound advice. I never really thought about it like that. Hey, yeah, sound advice. Yeah, she kind of right. Sound advice. How can I put this? What makes advice sound advice?
According to RawCNO.com, dairy and spicy foods are foods you should try and avoid as they have proved to not be good for your vocal health.
What makes advice sound advice?
According to CollinsDictionary.com, sound advice, these examples have been automatically selected and may contain sensitive content that does not reflect the opinions or policies of Collins or its parent company, HarperCollins.
The hell? Sound advice definition and meaning. Collins English Dictionary. What the hell? What makes sound advice different? Let's see. The non-formulaic approach elevates the creative and helps generate spots that stand apart with their own unique merit and appeal. Matt and the team at Sound Advice. What the hell? What does sound advice mean?
Having no defect as to truth, justice, wisdom, or reason, sound advice. Of substantial or enduring character, sound moral values. Adverb.
Interesting. Having no defect as to truth, justice, wisdom, or reason. Sound advice of substantial or enduring character, sound moral. I still have questions. Because it's advice. So even if something, even if the advice that you're getting comes from other proven examples, are all of the proven examples solid? Are they all the same? Is it like math? Or, you know, have we found some type of formula that works in some kind of way? And I'm only saying that to say this. If you don't trust the advice that somebody is giving you, have you accepted your fate? Have you consciously accepted your fate? Because in religion, do you know how many people have put their faith and their fate in the hands of a religious leader who was giving them sound spiritual guidance? Or so they thought. They thought it was sound. Do you think those 900 people who drank that cyanide-laced Kool-Aid administered to them by the security force of Jim Jones, do you think that he didn't, do you think that they didn't think that he had the formula for them to get into heaven? They definitely thought he did. Why would you move from the United States down to Guyana in a closed-off community environment if you didn't believe that your spiritual leader held all of the answers for you? So the advice that he was giving people, they thought was sound. They didn't know he was a drug-taking. He was a drugged-out madman. They didn't know. They didn't know. They trusted him, though. So how do you know who to trust? When to trust? How to trust? Okay. TK Wright says, what makes sound advice is you looking at it as good advice. Sounds good to me. Okay, wait a minute. Y'all talking about some good shit. Let me see. TK Wright also says, people who procrastinate consciously accept their fate to a degree. You could say that. You could say that. Maybe they think they have more time. I mean, you know, like, you know, when we diet and exercise and stuff like that, we don't know how much time we're going to, how many good years or how many years total that we're going to be on this earth. We just kind of guess. So we may rush to get everything done, but if our life doesn't end that day, what are we exactly rushing for? We may have time. Tomorrow will show up. They say it's promised to no one, but it keeps showing up for somebody. A lot of times it's showing up for people who are not even thinking about it. But us running around here thinking that, you know, we got to get things done before certain things expire, a lot of times we're the ones who are the most stressed out. Bouts with depression. Is that, you know, depression is such a subjective, it's such a subjective entity, you know. Do people who don't treat their depression actively, have they consciously accepted their fate? Can you consciously accept a situation where you're not even really of sound mind? Because when you have a chemical imbalance, you're not of sound mind. I'm not saying that you're crazy, but you have a chemical imbalance. So it has an influence over you that is more appearing real than may actually be real. It's not real, but is it going to be all right? Is it going to be all right? I don't know. But I hope so. Okay. TK, right, says, you may believe that the advice is sound, but you know more or better. Do you know? Knowing. Interesting. Stacey White says, I have accepted my fate when it comes to my health. I'm not letting them cut on me no more. That's interesting. That's very interesting. It really is, Stacey. Because many people have been in your situation, and I don't even know how dire or deep or serious your situation is, but I hope that you accepting your fate by not letting them cut on you no more. I hope that that fate turns out to work in your favor. I'll tell you that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray that it does, and I'm going to ask everybody else to pray that works out for you also. And that's real shit. So, you know, all the best to you when it comes to that. I mean, how many people have we known that have been in a similar situation to that? There's been way too many. Way, 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 way too many. And being put in that situation to consciously accept your fate, yeah, it's deep. Very, very deep. My man, Troy Steven Sanders, SiriusFix.com, all up in the house. What's going on, my brother? I mean, he says, by the way, Troy, you know, Troy is a comedian, and we used to rock out together all the way back in the mid-2000s, and I guess it was the early 2000s, like, what was it, like 2004, 2005, yeah, I'm saying, yeah. Good dude. Him and his wife. D. He says, a chemical imbalance will actually change you when it takes over. You'll say and do things you wouldn't want to do, and it's hard not to do some things. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to say that you're a sound mind when you are experiencing a bout with depression, which comes from a chemical imbalance. And so it's almost like, I don't know if you can consciously accept your fate when you're in that state. the real question comes when we ask, can medication actually reverse that and get us to a point where we are of sound mind? Or have we just been, I don't want to really use this kind of term, but have we been neutralized? Does the medication, the antidepressant medication, does it just neutralize us to the point where we feel like we are thinking better? And all of the side effects that come along with antidepressant medication, Shout out to anybody who battles with depression, because it's when people have not gone through or studied depression to understand how it really works, you're going to make a whole lot of assumptions about somebody's behavior and their attitude, and most of those assumptions are going to be wrong because they're going to lack empathy, sympathy, compassion, and understanding. It's hard to get things right when you lack all of those things. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious audience. April 12th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Nestor Ramos. Nestor Ramos, happy birthday to you. And also Charletta Duet, happy birthday to you. And Principal Rachman. Principal Rachman does her thing in the New Jersey Camden area school district. Very positive figure over there. And also Lovers for the Arts, turning 60 years old today. And LaShonda Turner, turning 43 years old today. And Lena Butler, turning 46 years old today. And Vanessa Boss Lady, happy birthday to you. And Jacqueline Dickens. And actually it says Jacqueline Dickens is turning 68 years old today. And Frank Antwi, happy birthday to you. And my man, Rick Fleming, grew up right around the corner from where I live, turning 58 years old today. I did not know Rick was that old. My man. And Xaviera Jones, happy birthday to you, Xaviera. And Jackie, love and peace, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my girl, Deneen, Queen Deneen, Soup Queen Deneen Super, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday when it's glorious. Glorious. April 12th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on and do the dance, the dance, rock out, rock on and do the damn, rock out, rock on and do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, when you consciously accept your fate, it doesn't matter what you drank, it doesn't matter what you ate. We consciously accept our fate on a daily basis, even if we don't understand the type of cases that we are creating for ourselves, our health, and everything that we do. It's on you. We make decisions based on what we think is right or wrong. And as long as we come out on what we think is the top, we going to do it every day nonstop. But I don't know. I think there is a better way that we could go. But trust is such a big factor when you act a fool. Even though you know the rules, you think that something might happen a different way. They say that insanity is doing the same thing every day. That you know that you're going to get the same outcome, but you expecting a different one. But people play the lottery every day. And you know that when you gamble, it won't come out the way that you think just because you know how to play. So what are you going to do? What are you going to say to me and them? We're going to do everything that we can. Everything is going to be all right. We got to work it out one day through the night. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get a Business show. And I'm going to tell y'all this. I know that a lot of those teenagers are off this week because of the spring break going on for Easter, which is this Sunday. All I'm going to say is don't let them drive you crazy. Don't let them drive you crazy. It's all right. Remember, you were young at one time, young just like them and probably wild in a different way that you probably can't even see now. But, you know, everything comes from something and they come from us. So we have taught them or whatever. All I'm saying is this. Keep an eye on their asses this whole week. You know, and we're already 2 days in. So it's going to be all right. Tomorrow is hump day. So you'll be halfway through. All right. So that's how it's going down. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. And we going to say peace. Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. So, Blog Talk, let me get you out of here. I'm going to say peace to you. Yo, I'm out my dear. And I say, and take it out.